Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our founder series at Blockmates. Today we have a very interesting guest. Online casinos, interesting perspective on this one. It's unlike any other online blockchain casino that you've ever come across. Fair play. Ira, it's good to have you with us today. Really looking forward to hearing how you guys are looking to completely decentralize casinos. I have absolutely no idea how the hell you're going to do that. We always see casinos as these opaque black boxes and don't really know what's going on. But you guys seem to think that you have a solution to this. And even though I've just kind of like glossed over, it sounds super interesting. Welcome, sir. It's good to have you. And it's finally, I'm getting to interview you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here and an honor. As everybody here listening knows, Blockmates is best media platform out in crypto right now. So glad to be doing the first interview with you.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for the kind words. Really appreciate it. And yeah, I know that you're super busy. I know that you guys are at quite an interesting juncture in your journey. I think it's been quite a long one. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what it is that kind of like you've done in the space and yeah, what got you into crypto? How does that look like? And then also tell us a little bit about Fairplay and what the intention is behind it.
Sure. So I got into crypto around 2016, kind of that first big ETH bull cycle. Started my first project then, founded another project in 2020 that was more a DeFi project that I was working on in 2020 and 2021. And then started building Fairplay in later 2021 and have been building it all the way up until now. Whole thing has been in stealth really for quite a long time as we've just been heads down in development. And now we're approaching finally, you know, some of our first product launch, which is really exciting for us. But again, it's been a long time coming. However, it feels like the timing is playing out quite well. And we're really appreciative of the community that we have that we know is going to be there to play as we launch. I'd be happy to tell you a bit more about Fairplay. I think you asked about that.
Yeah, please do. I mean, I think just before you get into that, I think it's super cool and I think really important that you obviously identify, you know, community and how that kind of plays into, I think, pretty much the success of any protocol and especially in DeFi. And it's great to see that you guys obviously value that. So yeah, I think that's key. And then, yeah, just tell us about, you know, this whole idea, this like vision that you guys have around what Fairplay is going to be. And I think in many ways it really is.
Sure. So Fairplay is a decentralized casino. And I think for listeners who aren't too familiar with this concept of decentralized gambling or what some people are starting to call GambleFi, I'll describe some of the characteristics of a decentralized casino that separate it from a centralized casino. And then I'll describe kind of what makes Fairplay really different within the category of decentralized casinos. So a decentralized casino typically has to have about three core characteristics. The first one is self-custody of funds, meaning that you don't have to deposit your money with any centralized entity who custodies those funds and who you have to trust in order to get your withdrawals from, given that you have winnings sitting in your account. The second one is transparent on-chain randomness, usually utilizing some tool like Chainlink VRF, verifiable randomness function. This is just so you know that the games you're playing are not tampered with or rigged. A lot of the centralized casinos claim to have systems in place for this and audits in place for this. But in truth, if you look at these tech stacks, they're not technically verifiably random. However, I don't make any accusations that most centralized casinos are rigged. I think that casinos, especially centralized ones, are profitable enough that they don't have to do this, especially at the highest levels like stake.com. However, there are some providers and there is some shadiness that probably does happen, given that there are thousands of different providers. That being said, you can have the peace of mind knowing when you play on a decentralized casino that uses something like Chainlink VRF, you are absolutely not getting screwed, and you can check that on chain as a source of randomness. The final thing is really that the games work on smart contracts that are uncensorable. Fairplay will, on its front end, geoblock certain restricted countries. However, the contracts which enable wagering are uncensorable in the same way that any Uniswap liquidity pool contract, no one can really be blocked access from it. They can hit those contracts directly. Different providers can spin up front ends that interface with those contracts. Even though Uniswap might geoblock certain countries, those contracts cannot, in effect, be censored. So these are the three core characteristics of a decentralized casino. Users self-custody their funds, it's on-chain verifiable randomness, and the games are uncensorable smart contracts. If a decentralized casino has these three properties, it is bona fide, proper, decentralized. Now, there is a fourth important characteristic that is more of a feature, but one that's become quite important with decentralized casinos, and even some centralized casinos, which is this concept of decentralizing the house, right? The idea that a casino obviously has earnings through its edge. Players are more likely to lose than win. This is how casinos make money. And we've seen this done in different ways on the decentralized side, and some of it's a bit complicated. I won't get too into it, but it has been a really powerful tool for bootstrapping community and basically giving the users some skin in the game on the success, on the upside of that casino. We've seen Rollbit do this through their token, which provides revenue share to token holders. I think even Shuffle is doing this with their Shuffle token to some capacity. There's some buyback and burn mechanisms and so forth. So this has been really, really instrumental for the success of those two, which are actually technically centralized casinos. And we think that blockchains are going to enable us to do this in a really, really powerful way. This concept, this decentralizing the house. Now, let me describe how Fairplay decentralizes the house. Fairplay is going to be built on the Fair protocol. Fair protocol is essentially a protocol for a token called Fair. Users gamble with Fair. Now, if a user wagers 1,000 Fair tokens on, let's say, on a coin flip, and they win, their winnings are actually minted. So you wager 1,000 Fair on a coin flip, you win, your 1,000 Fair winnings are literally minted and settled to you. However, if you wagered 1,000 Fair tokens on the coin flip and you lose, then your 1,000 Fair wager, all of that Fair is simply burned. What this means is that there's no house, there's no bankroll treasury. It's literally just this token that mints and burns. Now, the interesting implication here, as I mentioned earlier, is that when users gamble at a casino, they're more likely to lose than win. In the case of Fair, this means that when a user wagers Fair, they're more likely to burn it than mint it. Over some short period of time, you might find one day that there was more minting than burning because users were lucky. But probabilistically, over the long run, given that all of these games have a negative EV, people are more likely to lose than win, you'll find that although the supply is technically elastic, the Fair token supply can go up or down on any given time period. Over the long run, it will actually go down. It is deflationary. So I'll explain this finally with one analogy, and then I promise I'll shut up. When you, Jedi, let's say, walk into a casino and you buy $10,000 worth of chips, the casino now holds $10,000 of value, and you hold chips. The casino hasn't actually created $10,000 of value. That's not revenue to them until such time that you gamble your chips and lose them all. Once you've lost your chips, the casino has now profited $10,000. The centralized actor has made $10,000 of new value for itself. Now let's imagine this in the context of Fair instead. So Jedi, you would want to come and gamble at Fairplay rather than buying chips at a casino. You'd be buying Fair token on the open market. This naturally would have some impact on its price in that it would go go up, let's say, from, I'll just throw out numbers, from $1 to $1.03. Now Jedi has $10,000 worth of fare tokens. He goes to wager them and probabilistically most likely burns them. When those tokens are now burned, just deleted forever, that price impact of fare price going from $1 up to $1.03 is now materialized. It's actualized. The entire decentralized network of fare holders has now benefited from that gambling upside, as opposed to just one centralized actor. So this is kind of how the fare protocol decentralizes exposure to the casino. And fair play is the first application that is hopefully going to be driving some of that. So long story short, fair play is a decentralized casino, maintains some, all those core properties I was talking about earlier. And it also decentralizes the house in this very novel way, whereby users gamble with the fair token, burn it, and this benefits a distributed network of fair holders who are, in essence, the house.
Okay, so there's obviously a tremendous amount of moving parts in this whole thing. I think there is the TLDR, so I appreciate that. But there's still a whole lot of questions that I have around, I think ultimately, what is the point? I mean, why would I get involved in a casino that doesn't actually afford me the opportunity to gamble and win dollars, for argument's sake? You know, so if we look at something like Rollbit, for argument's sake, the token aspect of something like Rollbit is almost like a value add, whereas here we have the fair play token as being kind of like the main actor in this whole equation. So I think the question would be, and excuse me for kind of like doing it in a convoluted way, it's like, what is the point? What am I actually looking to achieve by playing on fair play?
It's a good question. So the first point there, I guess there's kind of two here, and I'll describe the first, and this is kind of more coming from my contributor bias of what I want to see fair play become and what I see as the potential of fair protocol, which is the overall kind of meme or ethos of it, which is that now when you play on Rollbit, to your point, for Rollbit, the token is kind of an afterthought sort of marketing tool. I think the Rollbit founders are making a killing with their, you know, business model, and I totally appreciate that. But the token, again, I think was just a marketing, more of a marketing tool for them. It's not really the leading product. Whereas with Fair, the token is everything. The fact that users' losses get burned as opposed to going to any central actor means that when you play on Fair Play and you lose, you know you're benefiting a distributed network that could have some of your friends, your grandma might be holding fair, et cetera. So you at least have this cool feeling that while you're losing on fair play, it's benefiting this, again, distributed ecosystem, as opposed to just you giving more and more money to Rollbit or Stake or whoever the big central actor is. So this is one thing that we just think is really cool, again, and that's just me as a contributor. But the second piece that's quite relevant is just everything that you have to trust when playing on a centralized casino are things you don't have to trust or that don't act as barriers on fair protocol smart contracts. So yeah, I don't want to speak too much to this, but there are a lot of people who report issues and shadiness and shenanigans with Rollbit, locked withdrawals, surprise KYC blocks after you've deposited funds, things of this nature that aren't going to necessarily be the case with a decentralized casino product. The same analogy kind of exists with Uniswap versus any other centralized exchange, where because users can self-custody their funds, they don't ever have to deposit anywhere. They don't ever have to trust anyone. Uniswap has found a really significant product market fit among crypto native users. And our thesis is that, you know, that same product market fit is going to exist within the online gambling ecosystem.
So yeah, that's definitely answers that question. And yeah, thanks very much for providing the clarity around that, because I think the biggest problem right now is that we don't have a truly decentralized scenario or a case study that we can almost refer to within the casino context. And if we do, I'm not really aware of anything that does it quite the way that is obviously being proposed in this discussion. It really is intriguing for me that there's this whole dynamic where we are so used to the house being the benefit of what this is. Even though there is a house now, the house is essentially the decentralized network that you've so eloquently described. And then with that comes the opportunity to obviously earn more fair tokens. In the event that you have the dynamic that individuals are essentially winning, right, and they're managing to actually accumulate quite a lot of fair tokens, they can obviously exit those fair tokens and then convert it into whatever other currency they want, whether it's USD or it doesn't matter. I mean, that's essentially the exit from this whole dynamic. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And this leads into, an interesting facet of how FAIR works. So that's absolutely right. What I've described so far is that FAIR doesn't have any treasury, which in the traditional sense, it truly doesn't. But what it does have is a liquidity pool. And that liquidity pool matters a lot. So let's just say, for example, FAIR launches and there's a liquidity pool that's got $1 million of FAIR token on one side and $1 million in USDC stablecoin on the other side. Okay, so that now launches. Someone wants to gamble. So they buy FAIR. They buy FAIR from that liquidity pool. When they do, price of FAIR goes up. Fantastic. Now they go to play, and if they happen to win and mint a bunch of FAIR and then go and dump that FAIR on the liquidity pool, the price of FAIR would now go down. Furthermore, the opposite could happen. This user could have bought that FAIR, the price of FAIR went up, and then they, and this is a more likely outcome, simply burn that FAIR. All this being said, we have to mitigate against major supply shocks or shocks to that liquidity pool. So there are bet limits imposed. This applies for all casinos. If you, Jedi, start a centralized casino today, and I want to come and bet $100, and you only have $100 in your bankroll to pay me in case I win, you're not going to let me place that bet because I can bust your whole casino. So you're going to place some kind of bet size limit that might be 50 cents or a dollar. And this ensures that you'll never go bust and that over time your bankroll will grow and you'll be able to support bigger bet sizes as time goes by. The same is relevant to the FAIR liquidity pool. The more liquidity there is, which that liquidity tends to grow over time as all casino treasuries do, the bigger the bet sizes one will be able to support. Now I say all this to say, you're right, when a user wins, there's a liquidity pool through which they can exit and get back into stable coins. And I just want to point out that what's interesting is that liquidity pool is essentially the treasury of the FAIR protocol, the quote unquote bankroll. It just so happens to be this decentralized DeFi instrument, which is a liquidity pool. So that's how all that works. Let me know if you have any questions on that.
So there are obviously, once again, quite a few moving parts. I mean, the more you speak about it, the more this is truly a decentralized entity. You know, you obviously looking at liquidity pools. I would assume that you guys are going to have your own swap built into this, right?
That's likely, yeah, in the future.
Yeah. Okay. And then essentially the what I'm understanding is that you've got all the essential moving parts of what a decentralized entity looks like. You obviously need liquidity, you've got liquidity pools. I assume that there are incentives for those providing liquidity within whatever pairs you guys put forward. Is that correct?
That's right. So, and it's an interesting thing. We definitely would like to, I think that there are plans to incentivize liquidity providers for providing liquidity. But one thing I want to point out that's a little bit interesting with the FAIR token is the kind of baked in economic underpinning for liquidity to just get stronger, which is just as simple. And it's all just based on user adoption. But if we talk about a liquidity pool where there's $1 million worth of FAIR on one side and $1 million USDC on the other side, and there are any users gambling at all, they would buy FAIR. The amount of FAIR in that liquidity pool would go down, but the amount of USDC would go up. And again, probabilistically, most likely, they're just deleting that FAIR. So what they just did is inject more USDC liquidity into the liquidity pool, which is what the FAIR token ecosystem would want, so it could support greater size bets. And as that process goes on, assuming that there is user adoption and people playing, this kind of takes care of liquidity kind of fundamentally. So there's some interesting ground to stand on, more so than I think a lot of other projects, just because of the utility of the token. Now, with that being said, I think it'll still be good to incentivize some liquidity, but we think the liquidity also has kind of a organically growing mechanism kind of baked in, just because of what the protocol is.
I mean, I'm dying to ask you this question. If you are burning FAIR, what happens if you run out of FAIR tokens?
Right. It's a good question. The FAIR token supply is going to start at some number. I don't know what that number is. I can't I can say it right now. But it's going to start at some number. This question is often asked, what happens as the FAIR token supply trends down to, 10 or 1 tokens? It's going to start to get weird with people buying fractions of tokens and things. Our understanding is that the FAIR protocol is actually going to have governance mechanisms in place whereby users can at times vote on things like a token split, a big rebase where a 0 or 2 is added to the total token supply, just to get things denominated in a way that's more comfortable for users again. But yeah, it's a simple governance change. But I will also add that if there ever does come a time where, given that the FAIR token supply starts at some amount of billions of tokens and it has trended down to, a much smaller sum of tokens, like 100,000 or 10,000, it would be a really, really good luxury problem for anyone who just held a couple of FAIR tokens the whole ride.
Okay. So that's actually really interesting. I think that could provide some interesting dynamics, as the protocol matures and once again, obviously putting that whole decentralized aspect for governance and the rest of it into play. Just coming to, obviously, where you guys are at in this journey, just let's rewind a little bit and kind of like go to the beginning again, because I think we got quite technical in terms of, the moving parts that are involved, but obviously very necessary in terms of, something that's severely lacking within the space. And I want to get into that as well in terms of trust. And there've been a couple of developments within the casino space of late with ZK Casino. But before we get into that, I want to just talk about, where you guys are at in terms of your roadmap. Just give us a brief outline in terms of, the path that you've already walked and, what's currently happening, because, we're having this interview because there's quite a few things cooking at the moment. And I think you guys have overcome quite a few challenges and you're pretty much at a a bit of an interesting crossroads. Can you tell us what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been building Fairplay for over a couple of years now. And there are a lot of moving pieces there. There's a 2D platform. There's a 3D platform, which is going to be just a browser-based, built-in Unity, sort of kind of metaverse-y 3D social way of playing Fairplay games. Building all these products, it's taken some time, especially to make them so that they're scalable and fun and quick, and so much new technology is rolled out as we've been in development. For example, account abstraction, which has been truly, truly instrumental for us in that users will not have to, you know, sign a MetaMask transaction every time they want to place a wager, which is really cool because it makes the decentralized casino experience so much closer to the centralized casino experience. We want to make sure that things can scale well, that everything's happening smoothly, and that we have a really, really beautiful product. Now, at the same time that we've been building all this, Fair Protocol is gearing up for, you know, all of its audits and its the token launch, the launch of the actual Fair token. Fair Play, the first casino application built on Fair Protocol, can't actually give users anything until that Fair token goes live, right? And this was kind of a problem for us because we have such a cool product that we're sitting on, and we really want to give users an opportunity to play, but we can't until such time that this token is launched. And so we had an idea a little while ago, which was basically this: what if we launch Fairplay as a decentralized on-chain casino, but where users can just wager with USDC? And we host that for some period of time. And then when the Fair token goes live, Fairplay will make a big switch. And it will now be Fair enabled, where users wager with this Fair token that mints when they win and burns when they lose. So we kind of thought about this and thought it would be probably the coolest thing. It would give our community something to play with and a way for us to kind of gauge loyalty and engagement leading up to the token launch. So yeah, it was a strategy that we decided to pursue. Now, furthermore, Fair Protocol wants to ensure the fair distribution of the Fair token by the time of TGE and token launch. But that being said, Fair Protocol has given a Fair token grant to Fairplay, and Fairplay is sitting on some Fair tokens, which Fairplay would like to ensure some fair distribution to users who actually use the platform and who we might anticipate will continue to use the platform in the future when the Fair token is launched. With that being said, we started a points campaign that we're calling Deathmatch. The way that this points campaign works is that users will bring USDC to Fairplay to wager with, and every time they win a certain amount of USDC, they earn points. When they lose a certain amount of USDC, they earn points. They also earn points for inviting users. There's one more layer to this, Jedi. Just follow me here. So that's the whole idea, is that there's going to be a USDC-based casino. People will be able to gamble on it, and they'll earn points. All of this ahead of the TGE. But there's one last bit of alpha, which is that we are starting this week a testnet campaign of Deathmatch, where users can play on Fairplay on the Arbitrum Sepolia testnet, where we'll mint the user some gas token and some mock USDC. That means dummy play USDC. And they can wager with this free USDC and earn points completely for free. We're calling this the Deathmatch Season 1. And that's going to go on. We're going to host it for some amount of time. I can't be super, super defined with that, but I've got some picture in our head of how long we'll be hosting that for. And this will be the once in a lifetime opportunity to earn fair points for free. So we want to be very careful and very judicious about who we're giving access to as it pertains to that testnet points campaign. That free points campaign is going to happen for some period of time. We're going to work out bugs and kinks wherever we see them. And then there's going to be Deathmatch Season 2, which will be the mainnet USDC casino, where people bring real live USDC to play with and earn points for their engagement on that. And then there will be a fair TGE, and fair play will work via the fair token. I hope that makes sense.
So, you know what? I know this really cool NFT collection that that would really love access to your Deathmatch Season 1. I think it sounds cool. I mean, it's obviously the impression that I'm getting right now is that you guys are taking this thing really seriously, and it's small steps, and you know, thinking about things really carefully. I mean, you have to. I mean, you're about to set up something that's permissionless, and you know, essentially, once you've rolled this thing up out, it's you know, you've drawn a very firm line in stone, and I totally get that you got to do it properly. I want to come back to what I mentioned at the start of this question, and that is that this whole dynamic with, you know, what happened with ZK Casino, and you know, I think there's been quite a lot of controversy as well with other casino websites, and you know, I mean, effectively these guys with ZK Casino have rugged the equivalent of $33 million, and I'm not entirely sure what went wrong there, because I haven't really had a chance to understand. But I think the question for me is, like, how does something like that not happen with fair play? You know, from whether it's a raise, whether it's kind of like participation. I know that you've described, you know, essentially a permissionless system, but how does fair play actually prevent anything like this happening to any of the users? Have you guys built something that prevents this? I mean, what are your thoughts around, firstly, this whole incident around ZK Casino, and how does that actually land up kind of like buying into favor for fair play?
Yeah. So we actually just had a retreat with the team this weekend as we're gearing up towards launch, and then all the Z Casino stuff was happening. To answer your question about how do we prevent this, we talked about it at great length in terms of how we prevent something like this from happening with fair play. And the conclusion we arrived at is to basically not be fucking pricks.
Yeah.
And that if we don't do that, this probably doesn't happen. But no, the Z Casino thing, it was really interesting for us all to kind of wake up to. I don't know what's going on with this guy. He's had a history of, I mean, he's done some other weird, questionable things. What happened in the case of Z Casino, just to catch people up, is that Z Casino decided it was going to launch its own, I think, layer one or layer two sort of protocol, like its own chain. And
yeah, with a ZK rollup, apparently.
Yeah. In the lead up to that launch, they incentivized users to bridge ETH over. They told users, yeah, if you bridge ETH, you know, it'll earn you the Zcash token that we'll give you guys for bridging ETH. And of course, as one would expect with any type of chain that you bridge over to, they said that, you know, whatever you bridge over, you can bridge back one for one. And so users bridged over a ton of ETH, to the tune of about, over $30 million worth of ETH. And then when it came time for the chain to go live, Z Casino announced users would not be able to bridge their ETH back, but rather the ETH that they bridged over would be replaced with the Zcash token. So users thought that they were bridging ETH over as a simple activity in order to earn this new Zcash token. But in fact, what they ended up doing was, quote unquote, buying this Zcash token. And that's the great rug of the situation. I guess I should finish the story there. what was then further announced, a couple things I find funny is that some users bridged USDC over. It's like a very small amount relative to the ETH. And they're actually able to bridge their USDC back, their stable coins back, which was kind of interesting. And then further, the Zcash token that users are getting instead of their ETH is also like 12 months vested, which I thought was interesting. I think that the plan there, I won't speculate on the plan, but what's basically happened now is a bunch of people have given their ETH to Zcasino. They're now getting the Zcash token instead, but they're not getting all of it so they can dump it and then, you know, comment honestly on how upset they are with Zcasino. They're now actually locked in. They're kind of vested in the success of the Zcash token because of how this whole thing played out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next here, but overall I'm really not thrilled about it. I really, really feel for everyone who got involved. And furthermore, actually I'll say this first here. We're probably going to make some moves to help those users. I'll just leave it at that.
Of course you are. I wouldn't expect anything less from you guys. Okay, so obviously onto the business side of this thing. You know, at the end of the day, you guys obviously want to make money. It's like it's all fine and well that you want to create an entity, a dynamic between players and a decentralized entity, but you've got to make money, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's part of this whole thing. There's the intentions of doing the right thing, getting something that works, that's decentralized, that then becomes, you know, a working example of what the possibilities of this thing can be. But there needs to be money made here. Somehow you guys need to make some money. What does that look like? I mean, what is the dynamic here for you guys as Fair Play to make money?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So naturally, when someone, if anyone's kind of familiar with the online casino space, especially as it has some exposure to a crypto token, so that could be looking at Rollbit or Shuffle or Winner Protocol. When you compare any of these projects with what I've just described with Fair Play, the first thing you'll notice is that there is no value capture for Fair Play. Like all of the upside for people gambling and losing is literally going to Fair token holders via this deflation. And this is, again, to your point, we're leading, like this is a token-led project. It's really all about the value capture for that token and those token holders. The way that we've been kind of thinking about this and that Fair Protocol thinks about this is we want to create that value first. And as that value becomes materialized, that the tax on that economy of that, it's not necessarily going to be TVL, but it'll be, you know, wagering activity, that later some form of tax would be introduced. And that's going to be really, really small in some way where, you know, Fair Play makes 1% of what the standard centralized casino might make. But our vision is that this whole mission of truly decentralizing the house creates so much more value at scale because of just how big we could become, that smaller amount of revenue is significant enough that, it pays us and we can continue to support development in the future and so forth. It's kind of like how Uniswap LP fees and like what Uniswap makes on liquidity pools is quite small relative to what a standard centralized exchange would make. But Uniswap was able to capture a really significant amount of market share such that that amount of revenue for them is enough to sustain development. And, you know, hopefully those guys are making the money they deserve. And so that's going to kind of be the approach here, is that we're really focusing value for token holders first. And at such time that there's value actually created, we'll figure out where we, you know, start to make our revenue. And that could, it can take many different shapes. I can get into some of the detail on how that might look in the future, but long story short is it's not what we're focused on yet. We're focused on creating value. And once that value is created via some governance mechanism and in conversations with Fair Protocol, a host application like us would have a vector for fees.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic case of, you know, chase the opportunity as opposed to the money. And yeah, the money will follow. Just get it all set up, and it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
So I think they are definitely kudos for that approach. I think in many ways we don't have enough of that in the space. You know, people are too busy trying to make a quick buck. They're trying to actually, you know, find the best possible way, whether it's through scamming or, you know, like, there just isn't really like enough focus on the product itself, and then let the product do the talking. And then once we've got that right,
exactly,
we'll reap the rewards. So just coming back to, you know, obviously your roadmap, what is the next, you know, sort of like 3 months look like in terms of, you know, launch? You guys just went through an alpha, essentially the equivalent of an alpha test. And I believe that there's obviously the deathmatch coming. Can you just give us a little bit of detail as to, you know, what that looks like? And then obviously the obvious question is, you know, like, when is TGE, and, you know, when can users kind of expect some kind of a formal launch around that? I know that you're going to say when it's ready, but an idea roughly would be cool if you could.
Right. So in terms of timeline, yeah, what we just completed was what we're calling the Deathmatch Season Zero, which is this testnet campaign I'm talking about. But it was extremely limited to the highest level of Discord loyals who have been with us for a very, very long time. We only gave out 50 codes, and that was just to start getting some really, really early user feedback on the points campaign, the games, any minor issues, any ways that we can get this thing more ready for scale as we approach Deathmatch Season 1. So that's just been completed, and we're starting Deathmatch Season 1 properly this week. That, again, as I mentioned before, is going to be the only opportunity where users can earn fair points for free. And so the focus here is making sure that we're getting whitelist access and invite codes into the hands of the right people. That we're going to be hosting for, again, some period of time that we'll be announcing coming pretty soon. What I will tell you is the Fair TGE we know is happening this year, likely sooner this year than later this year, more a quarter three than quarter four thing. That's about as specific as I can get, but yeah, it's a for sure the Fair TGE happens this year.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is one of those, for anyone who's listening, I mean, this is one of those where you go out, you plant the seeds, and you just be patient. And, you know, if these guys, in my opinion, come anywhere close to what it is that they're planning on doing, I think those will be very fruitful seeds. And, yeah, it's not really going to take that much effort by the sounds of it.
The thing, Jedi, I actually want to ask you just one question, just because it's really relevant to me in having been building a decentralized crypto native application. Now this same thing, we've been working on it for a couple of years, and it's a big moment for us as we're actually approaching launch. I want to ask you this one question. I love meme coins. I'm a degenerate. I think you know that. I've been trading meme coins this whole season, and I love what it is for the space. I think it's super awesome and fun. But that being said, sometimes it does feel bad building just a proper application that we're excited to, you know, release. And we want to capture attention. We want users to try it out. But I'm sometimes concerned that, you know, memes have really sucked the air out of the room. People are so focused on memes that I don't know we'll be able to capture the attention that we want. I think we've got the best crypto product in terms of something that actually works, is truly on chain. feels good and is really fun. But I'm just wondering, you know, do you have a thesis on when we're going to see applications, you know, come around? I think we've seen protocols, we've seen layer one and layer two and layer three. There was a bit of a gaming narrative for some time. And then it's mostly just meme coins. I'm wondering when, you know, applications are going to hit their way, where gaming too will start to really hit its stride. Do you think that happens this year?
So, I mean, that's also a really good question from a really good question. I don't think it's an easy one to answer because of the whole idea that has now gone out the window where a rising tide will raise all ships. And I think one of the biggest problems that we have right now is that there's obviously fragmented liquidity. There's way too much on offer, essentially, for there to be almost everyone in a room. And I think that's always been what we've had the advantage of in previous cycles. And in many ways, the cycle frustrates me because we don't have a foregone conclusion that if I buy X, it's just a matter of time before X goes up from a speculatory perspective. But let's take the speculation outside of the window and actually look at what is relevant from a tech side of things. So on memes, I believe that memes will always be an underlying hum. I don't think that they will continue to be as impactful and as like with the momentum that they have at the moment. I think that will die off when people actually start being introduced to, dare I say it, ideas like fair play. And there's a whole lot of protocols out there that really do capture the imagination of where the space will go to. And meme coins are part of it, you know. Meme coins are fun, like you said. They fulfill a certain role, but right now everyone is playing that game because it's fun and the rest of it. But the big boys are in the room right now. And the big boys really do want to tokenize. We had Tether announced last week that they want to tokenize. We've had BlackRock who are talking about tokenizing. So this is where we are going. So to answer your question, I don't know whether it's possible or anyone to predict when that's going to happen, but relevance around products that really do fulfill a particular niche in a better and more efficient and cost-effective way will find the wind in the sails. It's just a matter of time. When? I don't know. Do we then ask the question in turn that are we looking at a market that will be essentially primarily up only because of a Bitcoin ETF? Already we've seen that Bitcoin is not doing bigger corrections than, say, 18-20%, whereas in the past, 35, 40, 50% corrections were the norm. And I don't think we go back to that unless, of course, we get, you know, major black swan events. I mean, we had almost World War III last week, and, you know, we didn't get a significant, like, spaz out in the market. For me, those are indications that things are going to get serious. When? I don't know. But with that seriousness comes these kind of products. You know, whether it's decentralized exchanges, you know, RWAs, you know, casinos, gaming is such a huge thing. Gaming infra and providing a platform for gamers to game without even knowing that they're on the blockchain, whatever that iteration might mean, is critical. You guys fall into that. So it's going to come. In terms of trying to time it, I think that's fool's errand. I think what's important here is to have runway, is to secure the intention and the vision of what the product might look like, and then just believe and get on with it.
Good takes. Yeah. Glad I asked.
Wasn't expecting to answer that one, but it's the first time that I've actually verbalized it kind of in the greater context of things. And yeah, it was cool to do that. I think there's still so much more. Like, I mean, my mind is racing right now, and I think what's important, however, is at the end of the day, memes are a great gateway. They're a great starting point, but they can be frustrating, and there's a lot of people, including myself, who want to actually see the other stuff thrive, you know, lending, borrowing, market make, I mean, money market accounts, you know, casinos, gaming. Like, there's so much opportunity, and we need to see them come into fruition, and they will.
I hope you'll clip everything you just said and share it with any, you know, project or protocol founders, because I know I'm not alone in this, like, as a founder who's been building for a while, where I'm looking at meme coins, I love them. I don't want to be the guy who's, I guess, skeptical of meme coin. Like, I really do think that they're cool. I think they're a fun bedrock of crypto, but it is painful, I think, a bit for founders who are, you know, just making applications, who have been trying to build stuff. Yeah. And it's a competition for attention, but I tend to agree with everything you've said. There's ground to stand on, and it, to your point, it's a fool's errand to try and time it, but we just keep building and yeah.
I think the one thing that we can keep our eye on is that, is kind of like that market cap. The market cap is sitting at, I think, 1.75 trillion. I think we start seeing a lot of things really, like, coming to life that we would never have expected to come to life at, like, around 3.5 trillion, like almost double where we are now. So if we 2x market cap right now, I think we might, dare I say it, have a scenario where the rising tide will almost certainly, like, get everything going. But then we're looking at probably peak mania. And that's where you got to, like, that's the opportunity as a founder to prove yourself and to then effectively stake your claim in this whole blockchain game, you know, and say, okay, cool, I'm here to stay. And then, you know, you basically become another Aave in terms of being a stalwart and a hardcore participant. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. I actually have one thought, but before I forget it, and this will be, I guess, a way that we maybe segue back to fair play is, while, and this is going to be something that I'm uniquely optimistic about, given that I'm building we're building a decentralized casino project, is that while memes, as I described, have kind of sucked the air out of the room, we've still, in the midst of all that, seen a lot of really bullish indicators for casinos that, it's been a little quiet if you're not paying attention, but we're obviously paying attention. And that's, for example, Shuffle doing an LBP and raising 20 million in the LBP. A lot of people don't know this or weren't paying too much attention to it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Then this other casino project that I believe is launching a token called Monkey Tilt, raising like 20 million in a seed round led by Polychain. There are a couple other stories like that. And then I hate to say it, but, you know, Z Casino attracting $30 million of, unfortunately, basically stolen funds via the bridge and the launch there. So while meme coins, I think, obviously are capturing a lot of the attention, for those paying attention to the actual products and applications, you'll actually find that I think one of the things that has the most budding indicators for really taking a place as a bull market comes, I think is going to be the gambling projects. Fair play, of course, it's our goal to be at the front of that, to be the most decentralized, properly crypto native one. I think for this reason we'll win. But yeah, I happen to be uniquely optimistic about the gambling applications. I think they'll do well.
Well, that's really cool to hear. I mean, it's like, it really does support a lot of my thesis, in that those people who have done those raises clearly believe that there's an opportunity there, and those that have invested do too. So, you know, those are two very important catalysts that lay the foundation for potentially exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Attention will shift. Narratives always come in and kind of move in and out, and I think it's just a matter of time. But we are reaching the top of the hour, and I want to just round off in terms of, you know, kind of like, where do people, if people are interested in what it is that you guys are building, where do they go? what can they expect, just as a quick summary, you know, over the next couple of months? And yeah, just give us a quick rollout on that.
I'll just say, go follow us on Twitter at FairPlay.io, and it's FairPlay spelled FarePlay.io. That's where we'll be dropping a lot of the alpha. We'll be dropping Discord there, and then you guys can join the Discord. But really, just check us out on Twitter. That's where we're going to be announcing a lot of this stuff as it pertains to the points campaign. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, just to close off, just for anyone who's listening, you know, we like with FairPlay, I know the guys, we've interacted quite a bit through, you know, people that we know, and you know, these are DeFi natives. I think they really are serious about what it is that they're building. I mean, it's clear that they are. And I mean, this is about DeFi product. You know, we don't have a scenario where, you know, you guys have come in and like identified potential as Web2 players. I mean, you guys are hardcore DeFi natives, and you see an opportunity, you've been building it, and you know, we don't often see that. You know, we get aspects of Web2. I mean, that's not to fault the guys, but you guys have been in the weeds for a lot longer than most. And I think there is kind of like a bit of street cred that comes with that. So yeah, it's good to see. Look forward to seeing how you guys, you know, do and how the market responds. So yeah, best of luck. And then yeah, give the guys a follow if this kind of thing interests you. But I think there's opportunity here for anyone who likes to seek out proper alpha. I think these guys will have lots of it. And I think they're relatively under the radar at the moment. So yes, you heard it on Blockmates first. So go and give them a follow. And yeah, Ira, thanks for your time, sir. It's a pleasure. It's nice to actually like not get bits and pieces here and there, but to actually like sit down and, you know, get a sense of what you guys are doing. And I really appreciate that.
For sure. Likewise, it's been a pleasure. And, you know, we really want to get this for this Deathmatch Season 0, the free points campaign. We want to get it in the hands of the right cool people. I think you were mentioning you might know some NFT collection or something that maybe we
there's the LARP collection. You can see my LARP is on the screen here. There's 420 of them. So yeah, it'll be good to get some of the guys in on that. I'm sure a lot of them will be interested. So yeah, yeah, don't be shy. Be keen. Okay. Awesome. Cool. Take it easy. To everyone listening, thank you very much for joining us. Please like and subscribe. It's always appreciated. And yeah, till next time, take care.